Hello and welcome to the Azeem Digital Asks podcast, the all-round digital marketing podcast that covers traditional topics like PPC, social media, SEO, digital PR, and everything else, as well as wider topics that affect the marketing industry, such as marketing conferences, personal branding, remote working, salary transparency, diversity and inclusion, and much, much more. Every episode, there will be a different guest where we discuss these topics in detail. So whether this is your first episode, your 10th, or I've been lucky enough to have you listen to them all, please remember to rate the show, share it with a friend, and if you'd like to get in touch with me, all of my details are in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and stay tuned for another brilliant episode. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Azeem Digital Asks podcast. I know I say this all the time, but I really am excited for this episode because I genuinely believe that there's a massive space for this type of topic to be discussed, which has not been discussed. And I'm very glad that my guest has agreed to join me today. She's Shomi Williams, a psychological therapist who runs a platform online called Laffey Health, which focuses on delivering mental and physical health education and services in a culturally competent and accessible way. She also works with people on a one-to-one level to support them with their emotional well-being needs. If you haven't gathered already by the name of the episode and what I've just discussed, we're talking all about mental health and therapy in marketing. So Shomi, welcome to the show.
Hi, Azeem. Thank you so much for having me.
More than welcome. How's it going?
It's all going well. You know, the weather's good, so I'm happy. That's all I need, really. How about you?
Very much the same. I don't want it to get too hot, though, because hay fever.
Oh, yeah.
It's real out here. It's causing problems. But yeah, listen, that's enough talking from me. I would love for you to give a quick intro to yourself for the listeners to learn more about you.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Shomi. I'm, as mentioned, you know, I'm a psychological therapist, and I do a lot of outreach work to, I guess, broaden the education around mental health, to demystify it, destigmatize it. I run online workshops for different topics that would be beneficial for a lot of people, and then group therapy courses, and of course, just general therapy as well. Yeah, so that's essentially what I do. I also like playing video games.
Oh, now I have to ask before we get going. Favorite video game?
Oh, that's a really hard one. Do you know what? Just because when I look back of everything, I would say that my favorite of all time is Grand Theft Auto. Yeah. Or Tekken. One of the two.
Good. Good answers there. Good answers. I'll have to pick your brains more about that after recording because this is not what the episode is about. So let's dive straight into it. I'd love to hear from you. Why do you think that looking after mental health is important?
I think it's important just because it contributes to everything, really. You know, our productivity is down to our mental health, our social connections, how well we are in a community, how well we are in a family, and how well we feel in ourselves is all down to our mental health. So it's even linked to our physical health as well. You know, when your physical health is good, when your mental health is good, you have a better immune system, you're less susceptible to pain. So it's just good all around. You know, good mental health means good life, good living, satisfaction levels are high, your immunity is high, you know, everything is honky-dory.
Love that. That's a great answer already. I'm very glad that I reached out to you. So again, thanks very much for agreeing to join me on this. I'd love to learn from you because you must speak to a variety of people from all different backgrounds. So I'd love to learn more from you about what, if any, differences do you believe exist between white professionals and people of colour, POC professionals in this space who need help with their mental well-being?
That's an interesting one because a big component of what I do is about being culturally competent because there are gaps in the understanding of mental health between different types of people. And then that's just down to, you know, what actually contributes to our mental health. You know, some societies are more individualistic. I guess in a Western society, we're a bit more individualistic. The connection that we have to our parents is a lot less dutiful, whereas in where I'm from anyway, so I'm West African, I'm Nigerian, what you might find as well is the way in which people relate to their family is very different, very what I guess over here might be seen as unhealthy is just the norm over there. And I guess with mental health, things are very it's very subjective. You know, what is a problem in one area isn't a problem in another place of the world, or what was a problem 100 years ago considered, like, for example, hysteria in women was a mental health problem. Now it's just, you know, life. So there's just a difference of understanding of I guess just what's important to everyone, and sometimes that can make people feel very overlooked when they're speaking to a professional about something that they hold near and dear to them, and the professional is from a society where it isn't held in the same way. I know I'm being a bit roundabout, but yeah, sometimes there can be a bit of a disconnect when it comes to what's important to you based on where you're from in the world.
Love that. And you're absolutely not being roundabout at all. It's really interesting. So thank you for sharing that. I'd love to dig a little bit deeper then and say, specifically looking at the POC community, from my own personal experience, I'd love to know. I believe that there is a specific perception around mental health and well-being. I'm absolutely not going to put words into your mouth because the episode is about you, so I'd love to learn from you. What do you think the perceptions are of mental health and mental well-being in the POC community?
I think at the moment in the POC community, it's very secondary. It isn't a priority in the way that physical health is. I think because, you know, a lot of people have come to the UK and they've had to have, you know, their immigrant mentality on, where it's all about the hustle and building some kind of generational standing for their children. You know, thinking about mental health and how satisfied and happy they feel and self-actualization isn't a priority. And when their children are in a better position due to their hard work, and their children are not functioning to a certain level, and they're like, you know, I'm not feeling great, I'm quite depressed in uni, the parents can very easily be like, well, what are you talking about? You know, I've just, you know, come here on a boat and survived, you know, the brutality of severe racism, and, you know, university is getting you down. So there's a massive disconnect where it's not a priority. You know, as long as you have two legs, why aren't you walking forward? They don't understand that, you know, your mind is slowing down those two legs. So I think it's seen as very secondary, very frivolous, and something that only the privileged can focus on.
Completely agree with you. And I'm glad that I didn't put any words into your mouth, because that's exactly the experience that I had when I was younger. When I was younger and I was in that space where I wasn't feeling great, literally, my parents would say exactly the same thing. A lot of similarities, like, oh, you know, I've dealt with X, Y, and Z, and you're only dealing with A, B, and C. You just need to get your head down, work harder, and get on. But I truly believe, as you alluded to, that we are slightly more culturally aware than our parents are, / or were, which is brilliant. So thank you for sharing that. It leads me very nicely to my next question. I'd love to draw on your experience. So without being too specific, I'd love to know what you think holds people back from taking that first step and seeking out a professional like yourself to have a conversation with.
I think one thing that holds people back is the fact that they need to acknowledge that there's a problem. And, you know, who wants to have a label? Who wants to acknowledge that, you know, there's a problem with me, I need help, especially if you're still able to function. The problem isn't stopping you from functioning, so you're still able to somewhat do the things that you think are important. It can feel a bit humiliating, especially when you're conditioned to see it as a weakness. You know, nobody wants to say, hey, I'm weak. And I think already there's such a stigma, you know, people can very easily use depression to insult each other, or anxiety to insult somebody. So it's almost like claiming an insult to a lot of people because of the way in which it's stigmatized. So they find it very hard to say, you know, I am this thing that I find to be so negative, and I need help to not be it. And also it takes a lot of work as well. And I guess as well, just being a person of color, the services have historically not been the most favorable to us. So we're very used to being dismissed from, for example, you know, if you've grown up in schools where, you know, being black means that you are more likely to be expelled, or you're more likely to, you know, be put in certain classes despite your ability. And then, you know, your encounter with the police is negative as well. You know, you're kind of conditioned to not have that much trust for quote unquote white services. So, already you're less likely to even go to the hospital, even if there's a physical problem wrong with you, let alone a mental health problem, which is invisible. There's already that distrust that's been ingrained. So first of all, you have to admit that there's a problem. Then you have to go to people that you are conditioned to not really trust and to try and avoid. So it's not easy to do. It's not easy to confront that.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Again, you've led me very nicely to my next question, specifically drawing on and calling out POC marketers. So if there are POC marketers who are listening to this that are struggling with their mental health but have not yet taken that first step to seek help, what advice would you give to them? And then separately, if there are any marketers, not necessarily POC, in the same situation, what advice would you give to them?
I would say, it's very easy to think, when you're in that fog, it's very easy to think that, whatever you do isn't going to work. But it's good to at least give it an attempt, and then you know if it's going to work or if it's not going to work, and at least cross that off your list that, okay, I've tried this, it hasn't worked out for me. It's really important to advocate for yourself. You know that you've had times where you're feeling when you've been better, and you deserve to go back to a time where you're feeling better. So it's definitely possible. These mental health problems are not, they're not definers of, you or your destiny. It's a very human thing. Just like having the common cold doesn't mean that you are now a cold haver and, that's it for you. If you do get help, you're on the right track and it's possible to get better. So I would just encourage people to advocate for themselves, seek help, give it a go. Continue trying, even if it doesn't work, try again. Reach out to you can speak to your GP. Some workplaces have they have like their own therapy systems within the workplace that you can call up. Go to people that you trust. Obviously, not everyone is so clued up, but people that you trust and you believe are clued up, go to them, speak to them about it as well. Try and re-emerge yourself into things that you used to do. If now, because you're quite low, you're not doing the things that you enjoy and you're not socializing, try and, take baby steps towards re-immersing yourself into that.
Love that. That's absolutely brilliant. And I'm about to throw a question your way that I haven't prepared you for, so apologies. Contacting a GP right now, in my experience, is pretty much impossible. I'd probably have more joy going back to the first ever house I lived in, finding out where my next door neighbours have moved to and if they've got any pets or not. It's that hard. So if there are people consider if there are people considering taking that step, but I find it very hard to speak to a GP, what alternatives or what other options would you recommend?
There's a national service called the IAPT service, so IAPT. There should be one if you're based in England. You should have a local one. Just Google, your area and the word IAPT. See what's available, and a lot of the time, most places allow you to make a self-referral. Some places you can only refer through your GP, which should change, and I think a lot of them are trying to make self-referral accessible. But n as of now, I'd say about 70% of them do already allow you to make a self-referral. So do that. There are charities that can support you as well. Even like Left for Your Health as well. I do workshops to, I guess, get you kickstarted. And I know it's not always helpful because I know it's not the most accessible, but if you can try low cost therapies, there's like counseling directories that are available and people that have different prices as well. Sometimes there's some people really benefit from books. So there's actually therapeutic books, and it's a cheaper alternative. You can buy a book for £15, and that has given you a lot of therapeutic advice and tools and tips and workbooks. And if you're someone that operates in that way, that's a very cheap way to access therapy. So yeah, I would say IAP service, speaking to people, trying to reintegrate yourself into activities that you enjoy, possibly using a self-help book or a therapeutic book. And then there was something else that I, and private therapy, or low cost therapy are alternatives to contacting your GP.
Absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much for sharing that. I should have mentioned much earlier on that this entire project, this podcast, was something to that I started to protect my mental health last year during the lockdown, because I could have quite easily, I think I've even put it on my website, I could have quite easily just watched nonsense on YouTube over and over again and not actually done anything. There was one point where I felt like I was burning out doing this every single week, so I stopped and I started reading. So plus one for books, absolutely brilliant. I've got a couple more that I haven't prepared you
Okay,
for.
no problem. Go for it.
It's always fun. This one is interesting because I've spoken to people who are in this similar situation. So, hypothetical situation, I work in an agency and I'm concerned about one of my colleagues who are throwing themselves into work. I think they're overworked and I think they're burning out. I don't think that they recognize it. How can I approach the situation? How do I get them to see what me and other colleagues are seeing?
I think that, honesty is always the best policy. Say, hey, I've noticed that you've been really, in work mode lately. Is everything okay? How are you feeling? Just a check-in, let them know that you care. I think what's really important when it comes to checking in on people when you're concerned about their mental health is showing, having your concern, understanding where your concern is coming from, communicating it to them, but at the same time, you still need to let go, and they're going to do with that what they're going to do. Some people will take it in and maybe reflect and maybe dial it back, and some people won't. So know that because you've noticed it and you are bringing it to their attention, it doesn't mean that you have to then save them. You can't save somebody that doesn't want to be saved. Sometimes for some people it just takes a little check-in, and that's enough for them to reflect and dial back. Some people, they do need to crash and burn before they reflect. Either way, continue showing that you care and that you're concerned. So mention it once, and then if they continue down that path, maybe bring it up a week or 2 weeks after. But just like gently, continuously let them know that your presence is there and that you care, that you're available if they do want support, or that if they do not even necessarily support, you don't have to make it so formal. You might say, do you want to head out for a lunch one day, or just let them know that you're there. Essentially, that's the most that you can do.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing. And I promise this is the last one that I'm going to throw
No
your way.
problem.
When it comes when it comes to having therapy or seeking a professional's help, for me it's very binary. Now you may disagree, but for me, people either come out and say I'm having therapy, or the complete opposite, they'll have therapy in silence and get on with their lives. What do you think specifically about the former, where people come out and say I'm feeling a bit low and I'm having therapy and I feel great for it? I've seen people jump into each other's mentions quite rudely and say, oh, I thought you were stronger than that. Or it's an admission of, like, you might be seen as being weak publicly. But the question I want to get around to is, what are your thoughts on people who are open about having help professionally with their mental health and well-being?
I think sometimes when it comes to, taking care of your mental health, because it's not a new concept, or because it's newly popular, I guess. Some people, they find it as like almost like joining a new religion. They're so excited about it. There's this new discovery of their inner world, and they're making all of this progress, and they want to share it. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. But obviously, it's unfortunate that, there are people in the world that are going to interpret it really poorly, or might make you feel down about it. So, if you feel like, you want to share it regardless and you can withstand that, go for it. If you feel like it's quite sensitive for you, but you still want to share it, I'd say, share it with people that you care about. Share it with your friends, with your family members. Maybe not somewhere so public that it's easy to attack if you're in a space that you're quite sensitive. But ultimately, there's nothing wrong with sharing it. If you're happy about something, celebrate yourself, celebrate it. But just be careful the way in which you're doing it. And just be aware that, it may possibly rub people the wrong way. How prepared are you for that if they retaliate? If you're able to withstand that, go for it. Put it on all the social media and to the world. If that's something that you're a bit worried about, just keep it with the family and friends and the people that you care about. There's no reason to, if you don't want to share it, absolutely don't. It's up to you. It can be as private as you want. You're in control. That's the most important thing. Do what you want, but just be aware of what may happen.
Absolute gold. Honestly, this has been brilliant. I could genuinely talk to you for like hours. Thank you very much for sharing this. Before I let you go, I would love for you to share how people can contact you, follow you on social media, or connect with you.
Okay, so the main social medias that I'm most active on would be Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, I'm Lafia Health and also Shomisita, but I'm less therapeutic on Shomisita and more talking about TV shows. And Instagram, there's Shomisita, so Shomicita, and there's Lafia Health as well. Lafia spelt Lafiya. Yeah, that's how it's spelled.
I love how you had to double check that. Shami, thanks for being a fantastic guest. Before I hit stop recording, literally the final word on this episode goes to you. So you can say whatever you want within reason. But once you're done, I'm going to hit stop recording. So no pressure. You get to end the episode however you want.
Okay. I think my takeaway word would be for everyone to just be kind to themselves, to give themselves a bit of grace. Because I think naturally we're a bit inclined to be a bit harsh, be super critical, expect ourselves to be further than we are, and just beat ourselves up for whatever we're doing or whatever we're not doing. It's really important to just let yourself make mistakes, let yourself explore what works for you, what doesn't work for you. Be honest with yourself, be honest with those around you, and just accepting of whatever is, let it be. Because at the moment, there's just a lot of pressure on everyone to do whatever for this person or for themselves or whatever expectations are on them. And at the moment, especially in this time where things are particularly difficult and very different, the pressures get into a lot of people. So yeah, my takeaway is just to be kind to yourself. That's the most therapeutic thing you could do.
So that was another great episode in the bag. I'm really enjoying hearing from some brilliant people in this industry. If you enjoyed this podcast, please follow me on Spotify. Please leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you are using. Tell a friend to tell a friend, and hopefully see you for the next episode.